I'd like to write the title of the message on the board this morning. Today, all of us are, we are here this morning, every one of us, because of the very real and personal love of Jesus Christ. Because of His love, we are here and we have hope. And as we enter this time of the year when Jesus began His journey to the garden, where He went a little farther for you and for me, when He faced that time where His sweat became as great drops of blood, when He began that journey that He knew would culminate at Golgotha, and where He would face the crucifixion. This is the time of the year that we're in. And my mind has been on these things this week and on Jesus, and particularly as He faced the very ones that judged Him. His created. He faced their judgment, and eventually He faced the judgment of the cross. I'd like to notice a passage this morning in the 15th chapter of Mark, and maybe we'll read five verses, verses 1 through 5. Mark 15, 1 through 5. It said, "And straightway in the morning the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus." They tied Him up and they carried Him away. "And they delivered Him, the Son of God, to Pilate. And Pilate asked Him, 'Art thou the King of the Jews?' And He answering said unto him, 'Thou sayest it.' And the chief priest accused the Son of God, 'Hosanna,' 'Yes, the King.' He accused Him of many things. But it said that He answered nothing. And Pilate asked Him again, saying, 'Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee.' But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled." The account in Matthew, the same account, says that Pilate marveled greatly. It's a striking passage, isn't it? It's a true passage. It happened. And to me, Jesus' silence was deafening. And His silence spoke volumes on so many fronts. And this morning I'd like to consider it for just a few minutes. In the 18th chapter of Luke, and you don't have to turn there, I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit. The 18th chapter of Luke in the 7th verse, we read a story about, or a parable of the unjust judge. And how that the judge only did good, not because of the love in his heart, But he only did good to the one that came to him because they were pestering him to death. Wouldn't let him alone. Comes to work one day and there she is. Comes to work the next day, there she is again. Comes to work the next day, she's standing at the doorstep again. He goes home, ready to get some relaxation, and there she is again. He can't get rid of her. And so, he helped her to get rid of her. And Jesus said, and he told us that, and declared that how the God in heaven was there and ready to protect and help and show love and bring deliverance and touch us where we need touched in our lives and in our hearts. The Lord wasn't there feeling bothered, but he was there because of love for all of those that would come and choose him wholly in their lives to follow. The scripture tells us that he was there and wanted to give and to help. And he is yet today. And yet, there was a sobering word that Jesus put at the end of that parable. Do you remember what it was? Nevertheless. Nevertheless. Even though God wants to do so much for you, when we are not worthy, when we don't have anything to offer him, an equivalent nature to receive forgiveness of him for our sins. And even though he came and paid the ultimate sacrifice that we might be saved and have hope and have eternal life, and he's there waiting for us, the verse that Jesus said that he left with us, he said, nevertheless, even though all of these things are true, will I find faith when I return? And it is a question that Jesus posed all of those hundreds, thousands of years ago that continues to echo throughout the ages of time and reaches to me and to you this morning. Will I find faith when I return? When the Lord returns for me, he returns for you, I don't know if it'll be at the last day or not. I think it's going to seem like the last day for all of us because it is for us individually. And when he comes and he calls my name and he knocks at my door and I open the door and there stands the Lord that is now a judge. Will he find faith in me? Will he find a people? When he comes back, will he find a people that have chosen him above all else? Will he find a people that have oil in their vessels and in their lamps and in their lives? Will he find a people that are filled with his Holy Spirit? Will he find a people that yet are still willing to be separate from the masses, that declare a different way of living and impose all of the peer pressure and influence upon so many to go and to live another way, to live it your way? When he comes, Jesus said, will I find faith on the earth? Will I find a people that believe? Will I find a people that live a life that indeed proclaims, yes, thou art king? And demonstrate it by the way that we live our lives. Not just lip service, but a life lived, a faith demonstrated, a cross that we are willing to carry, that we might be dependable servants of the Lord. Will I find faith when I return? And I am challenged today, personally, and I'd like to offer that challenge to you too today, as I have been challenged this past week, how my life is answering that question. Who do you say that I am? Am I king in your life, really? Do you have faith? Do you believe, really? Have you really been willing to leave all and follow me, really? And I'm challenged this morning to be honest with myself and to ask myself, am I willing and have I? Pilate asked the question. He was curious. Pilate was curious. No doubt he had heard about Jesus and what he had done and was probably really interested in seeing Jesus. A man that was unlike any other man that had ever lived. And he had his opportunity, and there Jesus was before him. And Pilate got right to the point. And he asked him very directly. He said, are you the king of the Jews? Are you? And Jesus said, he said, Thou sayest. And I believe today that reply, Jesus' reply to Pilate that day, reverberates in our ears too. Thou sayest, whether or not you believe that I am king. See, Jesus, at this time, he had already spent several years preaching the gospel and healing the sick and raising the lame and giving sight to the blind. And he had declared that yes, he was the Son of God, and demonstrating not only his great innocence, but demonstrating his great love. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. My daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Arise, thy sins be forgiven thee. Go in peace. He had lived that. He had demonstrated that. The truth had been preached. It had been presented and represented, but there were many that just, they had a hard time believing it. Some, I believe, believed, but they had a hard time being willing to follow it, no matter how true that it was. We often speak of the place in the Scripture that says that Jesus began to explain what it meant to be his disciple. Maybe we'll speak a little bit about that this evening. That if you want to be my disciple, you're going to have to be willing to eat of my flesh and to drink of my blood, partake of who I am, become who I am. Allow me to be the king of your life. Many turned away and said, well, it's a hard saying. And it did cross the flesh. Peter said, Lord, where will we go? When he was asked, are you going to go away too? So it's a hard saying, and there's crosses to bear, but where would we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And if you're here this morning and you are weighing out which direction you're going to go in life, be careful that you think about not only what it is that you may be walking away from, but give consideration to what you're walking to. Peter said, where shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And this morning, I feel especially impressed that yes, there are crosses that we have to bear in living for the Lord, but the crosses that the Lord allows us to carry are crosses that tend to and lead to life. They lead to life, therefore are good. The Lord, it hurts Him too to see us hurt. But there is joy on the other side of the cross, and that is why Jesus went all the way to the cross, because He saw the difficulty of it. That's why He said, Father, if it's possible, Lord, if this cup could pass from me and go somewhere else so that I don't have to do this, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And Jesus went all the way to the cross because He saw the joy, the scripture tells us, that was on the other side of the cross. And there is a joy this morning that is on the other side of the crosses that the Lord has us carry. Have hope this morning. If you're here today and you feel like you're carrying a cross that you don't know how you're going to carry it, Jesus will help you carry the cross. If you're carrying a cross and you wonder why, and you wonder, why was this cross given to me? How can there possibly be any good in this cross? Look beyond the cross. Look to Jesus. Allow Him to do a work in your life. And it may be that the cross that you are carrying is for the encouragement of somebody else that you don't know anything about. And perhaps we'll never know anything about. Maybe until you get to the other side. Maybe you wonder, what did I do wrong? Lord, why aren't you answering prayer? Lord, I've cried out to you over and over, and yet the cross remains. And it may be that the Lord has chosen you to carry an especially difficult cross, knowing that you won't understand why, knowing that He's going to continue to let you carry it, because He knows He can count on you as a dependable servant of the Lord, and it is so that those that are watching might receive strength and courage to carry their own cross. I want to encourage you today, don't turn away from the cross, but look to the joy that is on the other side of the cross. And yet, so it is today that there are so many that say, I believe. But they don't believe enough to pattern their life after it. In this instance that we've read about, there were simply those that just wanted Jesus to be gone. They weren't comfortable. They didn't want the condemnation that truth and light brought to them and their lives. And they just wanted Jesus to be gone. Pilate, however, I don't think he wanted to be the one to condemn Jesus to death. It didn't seem like he did. His wife certainly didn't want him to do this. She said, don't have anything to do with this man this day. Pilate kept asking questions. He was uncomfortable crucifying Jesus, but he was also uncomfortable with what it might mean for him if he didn't do the will of the people. I know I offer to you this morning, what shall a man profit if he gain the whole world but lose his own soul? How would Pilate answer that today? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? There isn't anything that's worth it. I wonder sometimes if we too, that means me too, sometimes continue to ask the Lord. Pilate continued to ask the Lord, are you the king of the Jews? Are you king? Do you not have anything to say? And I wonder if sometimes we too keep asking the Lord something, hoping for a different answer, something different from perhaps what he has already established as truth. It may just be that we're not comfortable with it. We don't like it. Maybe it crosses the way that we're living and we want there to be something else. Sometimes people pray that they would know the will of the Lord, and yet the Lord has already revealed what his will is through Scripture that indeed we're aware of. I believe Pilate knew in his heart of hearts that Jesus was something special and that Jesus was innocent. And so Jesus simply let him choose to answer, in essence, his own question. And he said, thou sayest. Sometimes I wonder in our own lives if Jesus' response to us when we continue to come to him with certain things in our life and we say, what about this? And the Lord has already tried to answer us truth and reveal to us what it is he wants, but we keep asking because we don't like what we have already heard. And he may get to the point where then he says, thou sayest. And I don't want to get to that point where the Lord responds to me in the way that he responded to Pilate. In one place, someone was not thinking about something right in the Scriptures, and Jesus told him, he said, Simon, I have somewhat to say to thee. And Simon's response was, say on, Master, say on. And may that be the response that we have regarding the difficult places that we face in life. Finally, Jesus came to the place with Pilate where he said not a word. And he was completely quiet. And that response that he gave to Pilate spoke so loud that the whole world heard him say nothing with words. That answer has reached all throughout the world, throughout all ages. And that answer of saying nothing has reached us this morning. And I feel inspired to gently challenge us with this because it's so important. There's a reason why the Scriptures teach us to take heed unto ourselves. There's a reason why the Scriptures teach us, don't be deceived. There's a reason why so many of the verses in the Bible use the word watch. Watch. Be careful. Be aware. Because deception can happen when we resist, when we turn away from, when we fail to follow the truth that God has given to us. The talent that we have of knowledge, of truth. And if we turn away from that, the Spirit of the Lord will respect our wishes, and he won't continue to dog us repeatedly over and over and over when we say, that's not the way I want to go. I want to go this other way. I don't want to go this way. I want to go this way. And the Lord tries to plead with us and to draw us, and we say, "And we're not willing." And so He respects that, and He withdraws, and He goes quiet, and allows us of our own volition to begin to walk away from light and into darkness. And when we walk in darkness and we don't walk in light, it sets up an environment where we then say, honestly, at that point in life, don't see what's wrong with this. I don't see what's wrong with what I'm doing. Don't see what's wrong with where I'm going. Don't see what's wrong with how I'm living my life. Because we chose to walk away from light. And yes, the Lord, in His mercy, He comes to those that walk in darkness. And He comes to those that walk in a state of deception, and once again shines light and says, there is an exit of truth up here. There is an exit of salvation. Will you take it? Please take it. There's a better way. There's another way. And I'm so thankful that the Lord does that. I'm so thankful that the Lord has done that for me and has been merciful to me throughout the course of my life to help redirect my path. But there's going to come a day when the time and opportunity of making things right passes away. And there are no other knocks at our heart's door to make things right. And I don't know when that time is going to be for me. I don't know when it's going to be for you. I don't know when the Lord is going to come back. The Scripture tells us that it's not given to us to know that day. The time of interaction with Pilate and Jesus was coming to a close. And the Lord said, "Thou sayest," and then said nothing. And so as this message this morning also comes to a close, and our life speeds on, what are we saying to the Lord today relative to the question of, is He King? Do we believe the word of truth that has been given to us? We are answering today with our lives and our actions, and I don't want to sell my soul. I don't want to sell my birthright like Esau did for a pot of beans. Something that satisfies for a little bit of time and then passes away. And then it's gone and it doesn't mean anything. And yet eternity spans ahead of me. I don't want to make that decisions. And brothers and sisters, this morning, we don't have to. None of us have to make that decision. There is not a one of us here today that has to be in that place by the grace of God. Every single one of us that are here today, we can stand and be counted. All of us today, we can press for the prize of the high calling of God. That is the hope of the gospel that is to us today, that every single person that is here this morning, we can be one of God's children. We can have our names written in the Lamb's book of life. We can press ahead and not allow the things that maybe have deterred us in the past, that have been weights to us in the past, that have been sin to us in the past. Jesus Christ came and He went to Golgotha that He might give us a way out. And every one of us this morning, the hope of the gospel extends to us that yes, we can be saved. He is so worthy. He is so exalted. Yes, He is King. And yes, he is our dear friend. And he invites every single one of us to his table. And all of us, without hesitation, from the core and the depths of our heart, we can say, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and demonstrate it by the conduct of our lives. And when the Lord comes our way, and the question comes up, Are thou the King of the Jews? Do you think Jesus is the King of the Jews? Jesus can look on us with love and with pleasure and say, Thou sayest by the conduct of your life, you have chosen me. You have accepted the gift of salvation. Yes, you have said by your life and by the word of your testimony that I am King in your life, and that yes, you have chosen me to be your God, and that you could also be my people. Oh, this morning, to every single one of us that are here in the closest areas of our lives, if we cross something that seems difficult, but the Lord comes along and he says, This is the way. Walk ye in it. He is worthy. He's paid the price. He is exalted. He is King. May our prayer be, Master, say on. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.